Let's get to JMI Wealth, and Andrew Kelleher is with us for this Wednesday morning. Good morning. Global dairy trades. We've had another global dairy trade auction overnight, and we're down.
We are, Tim. Like, we've had a couple of wobbles recently in the last two auctions, taking some comfort from the fact that although we've had those wobbles, the price level is still, you know, pretty high. 15th of March, the global dairy trade price index fell 0.9%, and then on the 5th of April we had a 1% fall, but this morning the price move is more significant and I think more potentially insightful. So the global dairy trade price index fell 3.6% in the auction overnight, but before we all start sort of wailing and hand-wringing, the price levels are still at historically great levels. The index is still 16% higher than it was at this time last year. For the record, skim milk powder overnight fell 4.2%. It's been the real star of recent auctions. This is the first fall we've seen in that skim milk powder price since July 21. Whole milk powder fell 4.4%. Now that has been under a little bit more pressure. It's now 11.5% below the high that was at the start of March. Now, when I was writing some notes about this yesterday, I wrote that I wouldn't expect to see a negative result this morning. But we need to think about some of the background currents here. Now, Tim, last week, Fonterra announced changes in the volumes being offered at the global dairy trade auction. Now, they've effectively increased the volumes and front-loading some of the expected volume that's going to come to the auction. And they're highlighting several factors that have had varying impacts on global demand for dairy products in the short term. So the Russia-Ukraine conflict, we've had the impact of COVID-19 across various markets, there's an economic crisis in Sri Lanka as well at the moment. But in particular, and this is their words, in particular, the lockdowns in China. Now, we talked about this yesterday, Tim. I think the lockdowns are the most significant external factor for us right now. And my concern is that I think we can see the demand impact on price in this morning's auction. And if Fonterra are being affected by what's happening in China, we can only speculate as to what's happening with other export as well. So I think it's not unreasonable to say that there are clear downside risks for our exporters at the moment.
Okay, your take on the inflation debate and the comments from Adrian Orr?
Yeah, so we'll talk about this in more detail tomorrow morning, Tim, and who wouldn't be looking forward to that, the CPI figure being released tomorrow. It's still pretty exciting stuff, isn't it, inflation anyway? we'll get into that tomorrow morning. Now, at the recent official cash rate review, the RBNZ raised the cash rate by 50 basis points. Now, that was just a cash rate review, so we didn't get an accompanying monetary policy statement. But straight after that, Governor Orr did an interview with the acting director of the IMF's Asia and Pacific Department. It was an opportunity for him to sort of add some flavour to that official cash rate review. Now, that interview was released yesterday morning. Now, there are a few clear takeaways. Inflation now very clearly the primary concern, not unsurprisingly. Now, all talked about inflation, couched very much in terms of inflationary expectations. Regular listeners, Tim, will know that we talk about this a lot. Inflation right now is very important, but where people expect it to be is what creates that self-fulfilling behaviour. Now, the central bank needs to get it in check, but the governor is conscious of the need not to throw the economy into reverse to get that sort of soft landing. We can't avoid the references in the interview, though, to inflationary pressures coming at a macro level. So read fiscal policy there, Tim. That's the contribution the government is making to inflation. Orr did say that central bankers are going, his words, going to need support to combat inflation. I think there was mild pushback later in the day from Finance Minister Grant Robertson, who directed the blame for inflation at external or offshore issues. My view, Tim, for what it's worth, the fiscal and monetary policy acted in concert after the pandemic. They effectively fueled each other, and the combination of the two contributed to some of our capacity constraints. The RBNZ would like to see some fiscal restraint. This all puts the spotlight clearly on the upcoming budget, doesn't it?
Well, it's interesting that you should pick it that way. I'm going to pick the brain of another former Reserve Bank Governor, Don Brash. Wears a lot of hats, but that particular hat, we'll talk to him a bit later in the program this morning. So we'll see how he takes the whole thing. Quick blat through the numbers for us, please.
Yeah, sure. The Dow Jones turnaround Tuesday. Turnaround Tuesday. The markets are up. The Dow Jones 34,769, up 357 points, over 1%. The S&P 500 4449, up 57 points, 1.3%. And the Nasdaq up 204 points, 1.5%. 13,536, all good numbers there. The FTSE 100 down 15 overnight, 7601. The Nikkei up 185, 26985. Shanghai Composite unchanged, 3194. The ASX 200 yesterday gained 42 points, closing at 7565. The NZX 50, we lost 56 points, down 0.47%, closing at 11,835. Currencies, Kiwi dollar against the US, 0.6731. Against the Aussie, 0.9123. Against the Euro, 0.6236. 0.5175 pounds, 86.67 Japanese yen. Gold down slightly, $1,955.30. And some reprieve on the oil price. Brent crude at $107.51.
Thanks so much. We'll talk tomorrow about inflation, maybe a small wager, a modest, very modest wager on your pick for it. Andrew Kelleher at JMI Wealth.